Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms. Hello and happy new year. Welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess. Happy new year. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. We're on the cusp of 2022 if you're listening to this in real time. I'm ready to start anew. I'm ready to start fresh, Jen.
I feel like we have a good interview for you to start anew. We're going to like have a celebrate by girls' night in with Shrunkla, right? Unless you're planning to go out, in which case, good luck to you.
Yes, exactly. Listen, I really love this episode. She talks about something that is so, it is not new. Ayurvedic medicine, Ayurvedic healing is like old as time. So I don't want to present this as like,
well, about 5,000 years, but
yeah,
yes.
I don't want to present this as like, hey guys, did you hear about these cool oils, you know? But I'd like to think that this episode was a little bit kind of early, because I'm seeing so many, not early, but like of the moment, because I don't know about you, Jen, but I'm seeing so many kind of Ayurvedic beauty brands pop up, or just, you know, not me too, but just kind of getting their due.
Yeah, and also with the ingredients inspired by Ayurvedic medicine, like ashwagandha, all of the adaptogens, a lot of those have roots in this form of healing. Shrunkla Holacek is the founder and CEO of Uma Oils, and that is how we met her, I believe, when the brand first launched. And so when we wanted to do an episode touching on some of Ayurvedic principles and some of the ingredients Ayurveda uses to help your skin and your wellness and everything, we thought, who better than Shrunkla? She comes from a family of healers in India. So this is like part of her heritage going way back, but she's also like kind of brought it to the world with her brand, which has gorgeous products. Oh,
yeah, the products are absolutely beautiful. So even if you know like nothing about the history of Ayurveda and how it works, just like sensorially, if you try these products, you're going to fall in love and then you're going to want to know more about them. So if you're intimidated by the concept of Ayurveda, like look no further, just listen to this episode. It's what I love about her is she doesn't make things too difficult to understand. She really brings it down to like, you know, the very entry level for someone who's just curious, or if you want to really go deep, you can go there with this line. And what's also beautiful is that she has this family business, and her family's farms, which I found so interesting, they make the oils that are in some of the most amazing brands in the world. Like she was talking to us about how they supply for some of the most well-known fragrances that, you know, Jen and I have talked about in the show, you know, for years now. So her brand is legit, both for Uma oils and, you know, just the, kind of like, a, I'm going to say the dynasty that she comes from. It's she has a really interesting fragrance family. So yeah, whether you're interested in fragrance or Ayurveda or, you know, just female founders, this is a really interesting episode. And I don't know, I just like how she kind of breaks it down.
Yeah. And it's a nice way to send off 2021 and welcome in 2022. And just as a reminder, we will not have new episodes next week, but we will be back the second week of January, all new, better than ever, Fat Mascara, and we'll see you then.
Wishing everyone the best, 2022.
So we're here with Shrankla Holacek. She's the founder of the beauty brand Uma. And now when I met her, she was, I knew you had worked in consulting and you'd go to business school, but and you started this beauty brand. I had no idea how far back your beauty and wellness background goes, like hundreds of years, right? Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an incredible honor.
Welcome. Oh, stop, stop. But truly, I was like, oh, she's a businesswoman starting a skincare line. And then we started talking and I was like, oh, no, this is interesting. So I'm excited for you guys to hear the story. But your line, Uma, is based on Ayurvedic traditions, correct?
That's absolutely right.
So before we discuss the brand and you and whatever, can you just like ground us? What is Ayurveda? What does that mean?
You know, at its simplest, it is the system of medicine, or rather exclusively the system of medicine in India that Indians use for the simplest of ailments, such as a common cold, to some of the more tricky stuff, such as blood conditions. Obviously, that's changed in the last 200 to 300 years, but the Indian civilization goes back thousands and thousands of years. And up until recently, it was our only system of medicine, but much more in that Ayurveda is very much a part of every Indian's lifestyle, so much so that they're doing it without even knowing it. And it's also fascinating to watch that even in the West, people are integrating Ayurvedic principles, sometimes, again, without knowing where they come from, like drinking lemon water in the morning.
The lemon water's Ayurveda?
Yes.
Wait, how is it Ayurveda?
Because
or Ayurvedic, whatever.
Its tenets come from actually detoxing and alkalizing your system every morning. And it's just one of those things that traditional Western medicine has not proven out. But the anecdotal evidence is so strong and it is so sworn by that a lot of people adopt it and use it in their lifestyle. But it's Ayurvedic. It's one of the five things that you should do every morning based on Ayurvedic principles.
Wait, now we have
what are the other four?
We have other questions, but I'm like, we can before we get to those, what are they?
Drink my lemon water.
Before that, definitely clean your tongue with a topper tongue scraper.
Okay.
Everyone in India have a tongue scraper?
Yes. And the crazy thing is I didn't know that people didn't. In the West. So when I moved here like 12 years ago, I'm like, so where do I buy? Like I need to replace mine. And then I realized that grocery stores don't sell it. Yeah. That's when I realized that Indians clean their tongue with a tongue scraper, all 1.2 billion of us. And it was not heard of. But the tongue is a very big hotbed for bacterial activity. Oh. And in Ayurveda, your gut and your digestive system is key to anything. Great skin, great energy, weight management. Mm-hmm. And if you don't detox your tongue, you're sort of setting your entire system up for toxins. So that's a
note
second.
To self. Yeah, get tongue scraper. Okay, number
and
three.
It's really cheap. You know, you get 15 for like 10 bucks on Amazon. Mm. Just keep them on stack. I like lemon water. This is more intense, but oil pulling is tremendous.
I didn't know oil pulling was Ayurvedic. I had no idea.
Also Ayurvedic. Yeah. See, which is something that it's kind of nice, right? Like the East and the West are blending in sort of nicely together and we're putting our differences aside.
Wait, so this is for people who don't know, like a mouthful of coconut oil that you swish around like some Listerine, right?
Gwyneth Paltrow is like really into it.
She interestingly, in a large part, is to be given credit for mainstreamizing Ayurveda, for lack of a better word, because I think that she... obviously tries a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that she does try are based on her Ayurvedic doctor that she fell in love with about 12 years ago. Oh. And he's Ayurvedic. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we got oil pulling, lemon water, the tongue scraping. Number four.
Number four is dry brushing.
Oh, I do that.
We do that.
Okay.
Well, tell everybody what dry body brushing
is. Dry body brushing is the notion of taking a vegetable bristle dry brush and gently flicking your skin upward towards your heart all the way up to the neck.
Like before you get in the shower.
Before you get in the shower, exactly. And you're not trying to break down fat when you're trying to do that. A lot of people I see just scrubbing.
Oh yeah, I'm going
away.
For it.
Yeah, I just feel like it's melting stuff.
Which is, yeah, like smoothing out my cellulite ripples, just like, or the big dots I have like divots.
So here's the thing. The way it breaks down your cellulite is a slightly different mechanism, which is basically it moves your lymphatic system. Mm. So the lymphatic drainage system is a system of circulation above the blood circulation, but below the skin. It goes all over your body. And, you know, we all know of lymph nodes. Dry brushing and gently flicking skin dry up in upward motion actually helps move that lymph around and detox it. And that's how it battles cellulite. And the fifth one is, just before you step into the shower, practice a self-abhyanga, which is basically self-massage with sesame or coconut or even olive oil with flat palms, mm-hmm. Flat on the bone and rounded on all of your
joints.
Thank
she
you.
She did flat across her forearm and then round on her elbow, since yeah. you guys can't
wait,
see.
Flat. Okay, I have my flat open massage. Palm and I'm going to go from like my wrist to my elbow and then I'm rubbing my joints.
Exactly. Wherever okay. you meet a joint, you round it out. And spend like dry brush for like a few minutes. Do just a little bit of a solid oil massage, starting again all the way. Jump into the shower. Within 2 to 3 weeks, your skin would be a different animal.
I'm going to try this because I feel like, you know, if it's worked for so long and it's an extra like few minutes before the shower, I would say, or maybe 2 minutes. Okay, so you grew up, to me, this is all news to me. But you grew up, this was like your household practice, right? This was just always around. Like you grew up as a little kid, like better oil myself
where did
up.
Where did you grow up?
In India, in the northern part of India. A little bit, I lived a little bit away from my parents because where my parents grow, everything is very, very rural. So not very many people speak English.
Where your parents grow?
Our farms are all in central India.
So tell us about the farms.
So we farm about 500 acres of miscellaneous things that are not traditional crops. So we will have a 70...
A specialty farm.
Indeed. A different kind of specialty farm than you see in the United States right now. Mm-hmm. But fragrant...
Is she talking about weed? Okay. I think she is.
Yeah.
Sorry, I live in California now.
Okay,
so I'm
like,
let's
go there.
So your family grows specialty botanicals.
Exactly. And they're typically fragrant botanicals that go into our essential oil production. Mm. So 70 acres of vetiver, 50 acres of eucalyptus.
Oh, that's got to smell great.
It all does, but it's also organic. So there's also a smell of cow dung and cow urine in there.
Instead of Monsanto GMO fertilizer.
Wait, I'll take the cow manure.
Also, just so Jess knows, I know this, but tell her how long your family has been doing this farming.
800 years, since the 12th century. Yeah.
So you're like the head of, you're like the descendant of a dynasty.
A botanical dynasty.
Yes.
I don't know. You should tell me. You're the royal family.
Okay. I hear ye, hear ye. Dane you. I don't know.
No, you so are stupid. Like, is your family known in India or in the region you're from?
We are. Okay. I mean, and we're generally known across India. Okay. You know, even though we're technically still the physician for the royal family, it's more of a nominal title. It certainly isn't something that would pay
Wait,
the bills.
You're also your family has been the physicians to the royal family back in the day when you
yes.
had royals?
So that's how it all started.
Okay.
Because we were the physicians and Ayurvedic medicine is all plant-based, mm-hmm. we started growing all this stuff back then for the medicine, mm-hmm. for the royalty and the kingdom and things like that. And then as that became more of a nominal thing, and, you know, India got its independence about 70 years ago, the demand for essential oils in the West from Indian oils really started increasing. So the rose, the jasmine, the sandalwood. And then it made sense for my family to take all these crops and things that they were growing and make it a real viable business in essential oil manufacturing.
Wow.
Which they sell to who?
To Estee Lauder, Tom Ford. Chances are, if you've used a traditional perfume, there might be one of our essential oils wow. lurking in there.
I didn't know that you were so, like, you really are like fragrance royalty and cosmetic royalty.
Thank you. I'll not protest the validity of that.
We should have you on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, that's really interesting. You're like the head of raw materials.
Yeah.
So that's a new title.
I like the dame, the queen of the botanicals
versus
better.
Head of raw materials.
Yeah. So you touched upon something which is funny because my next question was about this. A lot of the Ayurvedic traditions and treatments have lots of anecdotal evidence that they work. But say you were to take the westernized medicine and the peer-reviewed journals with a clinical study and test some of these Ayurvedic things, they all haven't been tested, right? Do you think that what do you say to people who are like, well, there's no proof that these treatments work?
Like the lemon water thing.
Yeah.
I read a lot of like, you know, goopy new age stuff. And, you know, I part of me is like, how do we really know? I love it. But I'm like, how do we really know?
You know, I throw, I think, three things at them because, I'm an engineer. Both my parents are PhDs. So we are people of a lot of science. Yeah. And just by the way, every time we sell an essential oil to someone, we do serious chromatography and all of that stuff. So,
what's chromatography?
That basically establishes how pure an essential oil is.
Oh,
and you
cool.
need that to be able to sell. But unfortunately, and this is a whole other thing, customers constantly ask me, I bought this from XYZ Essential Oil MLM company. How do I know it's pure? I'm like, frankly, you don't, because unless you have the only way to establish whether it's pure is to run it through those, you know, that machinery that costs so much money.
So would your recommendation be to just buy from, if you are buying essential oils, I'm not talking about the ones that are in, you know, cooked up in the products, but if you're going to buy an essential oil, is it just to go for the quality brand? Because we can't do this test at home.
I would say do research, because unfortunately, there's too much marketing around this. I would say ask if the company you're buying from knows where it comes from. If they didn't grow it themselves, which chances are they didn't, mm-hmm. are they just one step removed from the producer? That is, and if they can't give you an answer to that, try to find another company.
Mm, because wow, that's very useful advice.
It's good because even when I write about not just Ayurvedic traditions, but other, I don't know what to call them, but like alternative health practices. Our fact-checking
department. Goopy didn't do it for you?
No, Goopy. There you go. Our fact-checking department at like our magazines is like, well, where's the white paper to prove it? And I'm like, you're basing that on a Western like way of thinking of this is the only medicine in the world. Like even with Chinese medicine practices and things mm-hmm. like that, it's nice to hear that like it's okay to not have that and you can still benefit.
And absolutely. And, you know, going back to the great question that you asked, I think there's three things. The first one is the idea of compliance and understanding that when you eliminate the root cause of something, as you're trying to do, the timing will be much different than eliminating the symptom. And the West has become so addicted to instant gratification around the symptom, mm-hmm. such as, you know, how does Xanax work? It works by blocking the receptors rather than getting rid of anxiety. So you just don't feel the anxiety. It hasn't gone anywhere. You just stop feeling it. And that's sort of the cadence we have come to work in that if I don't see relief within minutes or with skincare within a week, it's done. I'm throwing it out. But that wrinkle took months or weeks or years to form.
Yeah.
If you truly want to sort of plump it and make its appearance better, it's not going to happen in a week's mm-hmm. time. So the first thing is compliance, which is different in the West. The second thing is subjectivity versus objectivity. Ayurveda is very personal. I feel a little bit like a cheat, sort of mass promoting Ayurveda because in India, we personally consulted for everyone. You know, what worked for you for a headache would be different for what would work for you.
You wouldn't just go buy in a bottle of something. You talk to the doctor.
Exactly, because then I would sort of understand your dosha. I would understand your diet. I'd understand your lifestyle. And I would tailor around why the same symptom is coming from two different root causes. But that being said, in the West, everything is objective. In the East, everything is subjective. So sometimes the flip side is very often in the West, women don't find relief for things that don't show up in blood work. Mm-hmm. Does that mean?
Oh, absolutely. I can firsthand. Yeah, that. And you feel like, oh, am I going crazy? There's nothing, you know, the doctor says there's nothing wrong with me. This happens all the time. I think especially a lot to women. And men too. That was not fair. And men too. I can think of some great examples.
And I think that is why Ayurveda is finally seeing its light of day, because people are starting to understand the limitations and open their minds to where science hasn't yet gone. And which brings me to the third point around economics warrant that stuff is put around testing what you can monetize. You can pour billions of dollars into testing a drug, and then you own the patent on it. And everyone thinks that, oh, why don't you have $1 billion of testing just lying around in your back pocket? Well, economics, you know, it's not like I'll patent Ayurveda and then sell it to the rest of the world. Right. It's an age-old science. With that said, science is finally emerging like this, a Cambridge study around what happens to your brain when you inhale certain essential oils.
I swear she's also like psychic, because you're like asking the questions in the, you're answering these questions I had in the order, because we wanted to ask you about aromatherapy. What is this Cambridge study?
It's, so it was around studying the brain activity when certain essential oils were inhaled.
Okay.
And fascinating things were found, like jasmine lights up the same part of the brain when inhaled as when you're experiencing joy.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Lavender has a profound impact on how your body interprets anxiety. And some of the things that doctors will tell you to do, such as breathing deeper when feeling anxious, get forced by the brain when lavender is inhaled.
You take a deeper breath because you're smelling lavender?
It's sort of your breath gets deeper after your brain forces you to take deeper breaths after inhalation. Rosemary is often used in Alzheimer's patients because it has been shown to boost memory retention by up to 75%. And like all these studies finally are becoming, like if you look up white papers, you can actually find this.
Yeah.
Like, I hope everyone
is. Everybody in India like, we told you like 1,000 years ago.
No, Indians have too much time dealing with our problems than being
told.
But yeah, we got a lot of problems, but another time.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. So excluding the use of Uma products, which we do want to get into, and you gave us like the five things you do every morning. Are there any like things that you do that are Ayurvedic rituals that other people are just like, seriously? I heard something about butter in your belly button.
Really? Yeah, something.
Butter
something.
In your belly button?
So oil in your belly button and clarified butter ghee is what.
Yes.
So within Ayurveda, your belly button is a very, very important part of balance in the body. You were fed through your belly button in your mother's womb, and it still packs not only a lot of nerves, but has massive absorption qualities. And the way I break...
that weirds me out. I'm holding my hands over my belly button.
I mean, just
feels very
this.
Exposed right now.
So you put ghee in your belly button,
and if you experience a lot of like dryness or chapped lips, that will take care of it within a few days.
You win for the wildest beauty tip
we've ever gotten
on the show.
Clarified butter in our belly button, and our chapped lips will go away.
Yes, in a few days.
She's not even flinching. She's like, yes, it will.
I defy someone. I'm using the wrong words. I'm asking one of our subjects to try this.
I'm going to do it.
Oh, you're going to do it?
I have ghee at home. I cook with ghee.
I can't smell like butter at work.
Does it make you smell like butter?
No. I mean, not unless you don't shower for days.
You got me.
And I do recommend if you wear expensive nightwear, I don't, so I don't even bother with this, but put a little bit of cotton over your belly button if
it's cute.
You don't want to. It's
like a plug, a cotton plug.
Exactly. And it's called Nabhi Chikitsa, which simply translated means navel therapy.
And that's a Hindi word?
Hindi word. It's highly recommended. Everyone does it. The two are ghee or mustard oil, which is harder to get your hands on in the West.
So that's like a vegan option.
That's a vegan option.
Okay.
Exactly.
Mustard oil. Does mustard, does it burn or give you like a weird sensation?
No. It's smellier than ghee, but it's not at all
weird.
Okay,
we're gonna do the ghee, the mustard.
I love it. Okay, so can we talk about some of the ingredients that Ayurveda relies on? Like, what are some
ghee
of the...
and mustard. We got
tick, tick. What else?
So I want to underscore ghee because it's all dosha pacifying. So it's very, very good.
I hate to back you up.
Dosha.
Okay, yeah. I was like, I know that we can really spend a lot of time talking about this, but like in a nutshell, what's a dosha? Because you said it a couple times.
A dosha is how the earth's elements. Ayurveda believes there are five: earth, water, air, ether, and fire.
Ether. Wow.
Yes. How they have manifested in your body as a combination at the time of conception.
What is your dosha?
Pitta.
And what's that one about?
Here's when it's good. When it's fiery, it's fire and water. So when I am feeling good, I am in balance, I'm articulate, I am focused. Mm-hmm. And when I'm out of balance, I have a lot of rage.
She's fiery. This sounds like the astrology,
yeah,
like
this is cool.
That a lot of people in the West talk about.
You know, there is
Ayurveda has some tenets of astrology as well.
Okay.
But the Vata Pitta Kapha thing basically will give you...
Those are the different doshas.
Yes. Okay. Vata would be the air and ether. So it's very flighty. This is your friend who never puts on weight. She's sometimes anxious. Her hair is frazzled. When she's out of balance, she is not sleeping at all. But
this is not me.
But she's very fat creative. And
tired. What's the fat and tired dosha?
Yeah. Well, that's Kapha.
Come on, Kaphas. I see you, Kaphas. What are Kaphas like?
It's earth and water. And funny, you know, I'll tell you, Kaphas.
Well, I am an earth sign.
Well, that
so like Jen was saying, it's like a keep going.
No, and a little tidbit: Kaphas tend to be the most just financially successful.
Ooh,
and here's why: they have a lot of fundamental stability in their nature, which is, you know, think about like the slow moving bit of it. And every
she's the slowest person in the world.
I knew you were gonna love that
because when we walk downstairs, I kid you not,
I have bad balance.
I'll be at the bottom, and she'll be like very.
Gingerly.
Methodically walking down the stairs. And the subway doors will be closing and she'll be like, I'm not rushing. Wait, I'm going
to
get there.
I'm not going to fall down the stairs to get there 5 minutes earlier. Like, I'll
that's
wait for the next one.
No?
And that's leader-like, right?
Like,
the world will wait for me.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of qualities that the world's... has respected in sort of leadership and therefore made CEOs out of.
Jen's looking at
tend to be Kapha types because they're like a little bit, you know, grounded and statuesque and deliberate in their decision making. Pithas tend to be political leaders because of, you know, a lot of like... speaking and flustering and passion, and the best creatives come from Vata.
What's Vata? Because I'm trying to put Jen in it. I'm trying to find her dosha without doing like a test.
And you can be mixed as well. Vata tends to be, a little bit on the drier side. Little
like in sense of humor or like
skin. Oh. Skin. Dry,
dry
thin.
Skin.
Difficulty putting on weight.
That's
I get
Jen.
Skinny when I'm stressed.
Yes.
I'm so jealous. Yeah. No,
it's not good either. You want to be in balance is what I hear you saying, right?
But but then within your dosha. So that's the thing. All the things that I'm saying kind of are expressions of imbalanced dosha, such as the poor sleep and losing weight.
What are her good qualities? What are the Vata? Because I feel like we said nice things about everyone.
I'm creative.
They're the sharpest creatives in the room when that energy is channeled well. As well as...
We're poor and skinny, but we sure are creative.
You know,
oh my God! I don't think this is totally for you, Jen.
It's not the wealth thing was specifically just called out.
Lord,
this is, what have I done?
How can our listeners figure out their dosha?
It's terrible to suggest this, but you can get the first 80% by. Very often taking an internet quiz, okay?
Do you have one on your website?
You know, we used to right now, but there's so many good ones out there that, you know. But again, that's 80% there because here's the complicating factor. All of us have all three. We just have one predominant one. But sometimes when the non-predominant one goes out of balance, you'll start showing signs of it.
Okay.
Like even Vatas can gain weight when their Kapha goes out of balance.
So this is why you need the doctor and you can't just...
That's why that's the thing. The last 20% is the doctor.
Okay. I was asking about ingredients, though. Let's just like backpedal for a second. What are some mainstream Ayurvedic ingredients?
Turmeric is a big one.
You're the guys behind the turmeric latte?
We are.
Oh, my God.
Golden milk.
Yes.
You're the guys. Your whole country.
All of us. You know, but yes.
I love those.
They are great for you. Their turmeric has a lot of cumarin. And again, going back to what the West actually respects cumarin. Cumarin. I can never get the R in the right place in the pronunciation. But it's a well-established ingredient of turmeric that has a lot of antioxidant and anti-inflammatory power. It's great. Other things I personally love is something called Thrifla, and it's very detoxifying. It's also regularity inducing in the
system. Your bowels?
Exactly.
What's Thrifla? Like a
Thrifla
herb?
is a combination of herbs, and it's very readily available at, you know, Whole Foods or Amazon. I just buy my 100 tablets for $10 on Amazon. It, you know, just buy an Ayurvedic
one. It's a tablet?
It's also a powder, but I find the tablet form easy. Oh. Yeah, it's basically, it's a powder made of two or three Ayurvedic herbs, but it's very, anytime that you start to feel a little bit bloated or like I'm breaking out, the first thing in Ayurveda we recommend is a detox. And Thrifla tends to be a very detoxing herb. So I like Thrifla within Ayurveda quite a bit. Aloe is very important in Ayurveda, and fresh aloe as much as possible. So, you know, I've seen Whole Foods actually sell leaves.
You could grow a plant.
Yeah, yes. My grandma had an aloe plant.
Are they cat safe? I would have gotten you one of those, Jess.
I don't know.
We need to check on
that. We'll check on that.
I was trying to get her a plant last time I visited her, but like so many plants, if you have a cat, you can't grow them. But
very toxic.
I'll check on the aloe.
Yes.
Sorry, I took us off topic.
No, it's very easy to
grow. It's an important topic.
And it grows prolifically, and it's great for anything from heartburn to great skin.
Okay. Yeah.
So just take out the fleshy cube, throw a little bit of black pepper on it, and just eat it.
Oh, eat it. I thought we were talking about putting it on topically.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have clarified. I was talking about stuff that you should put in your mouth. And yes.
Okay, that's
so
really interesting.
Thrifla and aloe, eat them very much. They are very recommended. A fourth one is neem. It's not very popular in the West yet because it's an evergreen tree in India, but it is very purifying of blood, is believed.
And you take a neem tablet?
You can take a tablet. You can take it in syrup format. Almost every Indian girl in her teens who struggled with acne has put it on her skin in a paste.
Yeah, you have neem in some of the Uma products,
in our clarifying products, yes, because it's a very beloved ingredient for detoxing and purifying both skin and internally.
So let's talk about Uma, because Uma's mostly topical products,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Why did you start this company? Obviously, your family has this heritage, but what made you want to bring it? I don't know where are you sold. You're sold like Net-a-Porter and Vitagre and like all the fancy stuff.
You know, I think it was, and you know, I that I was actually doing consulting and I moved to the United States for business school, but I did live in LA, and I observed a couple of things. One, even in the time that I was there, I saw a systematic change in how much people were questioning the source of ingredients and asking questions.
Oh, I mean, our listeners
all the time.
You know, even celebrities are literally at farmers markets. Like Jennifer Garner is buying fruit for her kids because she, I don't know, doesn't trust Whole Foods and wants to talk to the
Nobody
farmers.
Nobody trusts anyone. Yeah,
is true.
And it's increasingly happening. And I felt like there might be validity in bringing an ingredient untouched from where it was farmed directly to the consumer. You know, it's skincare tends to be a little bit black box. I wanted to open it up.
Do you mean black box?
Till the time it's delivered to you, you can't really ask questions about where was this farmed? Mm-hmm. How did you make it? Can you tell me how to make this at home? And I wanted to change that, that a lot of Ayurveda, you can whip it up at home. You never have to buy a single Uma product.
Like, there's no way I could whip up an Uma oil at home. Sorry.
I thought I was putting the plant on my skin. So this is I need some instruction.
Well, you can put tomato and papaya on your skin, and that's would be lovely. That was one reason. A, the ability to sort of just open it up and sort of almost say, hey, you want to know where your rose oil vintage 2019 comes from? Come to our farm. Talk to the farmers. See the happy people are growing it. And the second thing was, I think that Ayurveda was misunderstood and a little bit bastardized and almost pandering to the fringes, sort of only the provocative and crazy sounding stuff was being put out there. Like
patchouli hippies in the weird herb shop kind of situation.
Right. You know, like don't
like
question
butter in your
things.
Belly button. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. Trust your experience. If it doesn't work for you, you know, I haven't made you buy some $500 crystal.
That's true.
You know, if it's not working for you, stop it day 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. You know, trust your experience with all of these things. Mm-hmm. But the thing I feel comfortable around is offering up things that don't cost people money. Yeah. And, you know, you're not telling them to go do these, a set of essential oils that cost $300 in a set and that you make. It's yeah. often household stuff. But that being said, to go back to like the practical advice was I felt missing and mired behind. And this sounds weird coming from a luxury brand. I know our products are expensive and at Neiman and Net and things like that. But Ayurveda is somewhat elite right now.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, it's a science of the masses, you know?
That is actually a really strange, like, I don't know if it's ironic, but it is kind of, it's unfortunate and it's ironic. Because when I think of Ayurveda, I think of like really particular ingredients and really, you know, specialized. It's like next.
When it's patro-y.
Yeah, yeah. I hate
but
to say it.
But it's not. Yeah. You know, when you go to on an Ayurvedic detox, you don't go buy $100 worth of juice every day. All you do is sort of go on a plan, which involves a very basic recipe of 3 spices and rice and lentils.
I bet Sakara sells it for like $90, right? No, there's companies that do that.
But, you know, you can make that. Like
I love this. Ayurveda for like the real girl or like on the cheap.
It is. That's the thing. It's 90% of it is not product based. It's like I will tell you that if you're stressed out, you don't need to buy a product. You need to practice alternate nostril meditation. You know.
Oh, I've tried that. I didn't know. This Ayurveda yes. is like part of so
it's
many different things.
Yeah.
Yoga is Ayurveda.
Oh yeah,
and,
of course. We didn't even.
And pranayama.
The obvious
yeah.
one, right?
I honestly didn't know. I thought that yoga was like a separate thing that had origins in India, but I thought that Ayurveda was like, I need cumin, I need pepper, and we're going to mix it up in like a $40 salad, you know?
They're both parts of...
No disrespect. I'm just saying this is
no,
like,
which is,
you see
thank you,
Gwyneth and Co. doing it. You think it's for people who have time and money to do this kind of thing.
No. And I say no with a little bit of hesitation because the only thing that trips me up about Ayurveda, and I've had it hard to practice in the life that I live here, is the emphasis on fresh food. Ayurveda's not a big fan of freezing food.
Well, I thank you for your honesty. Okay.
You know, but it's yeah. jars, it's sort of, it's hard. Like, it's so much easier for me to pull something out of my freezer and yeah. thaw it than, you know, make the, with the exception of that, all Ayurvedic things are super practical, super straightforward. I mean, the dry brushing, buy a $5 yeah. dry brush.
I feel mm-hmm. like if you were looking to sell your company to like Estee Lauder or something, they'd sort of nip that whole talking point in the bud. They'd be like, stop telling people to get the cheap stuff. Tell them to buy your face oils.
That's really funny.
You know, but the crazy thing
is... You just want to bring in any form possible.
Oh, and the truth is, people, I would never want someone buying Uma because they felt like... That's the only access to Ayurveda. They're completely different questions to answer. You know, Uma is as much an indulgence as it is a necessity. And I've always said that. Don't skimp on sleep. My products will never help you look better if you've gone on 4 hours mm-hmm. of sleep.
So what's the best-selling product in the Uma line?
The anti-aging line, specifically the body oil, which is very, very delightful and indulgent, goes on after the shower. It's called the Absolute Anti-Aging Body Oil. It's called anti-aging because it's got specific ingredients such as frankincense, which helps cellular turnover. So mm-hmm. it strengthens mm-hmm. skin cells, and grapefruit, which actually can boost circulation a little bit, so can help with sort of how skin appears,
okay.
you know, because it's circulating better. And that's one of our best sellers.
I'll
our eye oil is also
pretty popular.
What do you say to people? I know all of your products are pretty much oil-based in glass jars. What do you say when people are like, but I like a nice foamy cleanser or I like a water-based product?
So first thing I say without seeming rude is Uma's not for everyone, okay? Because it's a departure from how you take care of your skin. I mean, keep in mind that this is kitchen pharmacy, right? And kitchens don't naturally have soap. So what you've got is oats and honey and calendula and a little bit of turmeric and things like that. So to get the results that you want in terms of balancing your skin and allowing it to thrive, you're going to have to put the time in that you put the time in to extract what nature, what the environment has aggressed. You know, we all need sunscreen these days and so on. So you need to get it off your skin. But by and large, you want to remove just what's external, not what the skin naturally produces. I mean, we're intelligent beings. We've evolved over tens of thousands of years. The skin knows what it's doing.
So do you feel, it's interesting, we say we don't need to remove all that. I mean, so much right now, when you look at the beauty climate, is about, you know, I have to say a little bit aggressive treatments. We just talked about this on the show a week or two ago. Do you kind of cringe at that?
Like lots of acids and peels. And
yeah. It's all like a DIY derm stuff right now at home.
And again, I know it's all on trend. Absolutely. One of my people say, boil it down to one piece of advice. I say, do not overstrip skin. There is such a... Everyone constantly exfoliates and constantly uses acid. And I'll tell you something crazy. Dark skin girls like myself should not be using acid. And, you know, you talked about research. Look at acid peel. For brown girls, the first study that comes up is Mayo Clinic advising against peels for dark skin girls. Nobody tells you that.
Because it causes inflammation that causes hyperpigmentation?
Absolutely.
Okay,
in a very large majority of cases. Like, people scar permanently. Mm. And I don't think any dark-skinned girl is told that when being sold an acid.
Interesting.
Wow. That's really valuable information. Is there a beauty product from another line that you feel like, oh, I wish I'd invented that, or just really admire?
You know, I sometimes, sun products, you know, we can't have them because we're 100% organic and there's really no, you know, there are some oils that are pretty good, but not the level of protection you want. Mm. So sometimes I look at a great sun product,
what do you use?
Supergoop is something I end up using.
In turn, Tiff loves Supergoop.
It's a great brand. Which one do you use? Do you remember?
I use the spray one that goes on sort of like pretty light. And after, like, sometimes if I've forgotten to put it under makeup, it's just like a little spray, like white bottle. And I mean, I've tried a little bit of the sun drops. I haven't used it enough, Barbara Sturm's, to really know. But they at least go on great. So sun products is one. Mm-hmm. And recently I discovered, I was at doing a beauty summit for Net-a-Porter and Larry King Hair Care.
Oh, new line. My God.
I just raised the wand to one of his products.
Which product do you like?
It's A Social Life for Your Hair. Yeah. And I was in Singapore and I promise you my hair was growing horizontally or vertically by the minute. I was looking like a lion at these summits. And Larry King was also, you know, at the thing. And they're like, let us put some social life in your hair.
That's a cute name.
And, oh my God, I love it. It does not weigh your hair down.
It's very light. I have it too. I've used it a few times. It's a very light. Some of the creams there, it feels like you're putting body butter in your hair. This is like, just, it's so, it's not whipped, but it feels very light.
And I like that it doesn't weigh hair down. It's like, you know, I have very fine hair. So that's something that's been on mind for me for the last 3 weeks. I'm like, this is kind of a nice product. The one I could never make, but it's
there
cool.
You go.
Yeah. So what's your, we've talked about the hair and the SPF, but what's sort of your makeup look?
Yeah,
what's your go-to?
Because, like, also your skin's just
fabulous. Yeah, and I'm like going to go oil pull tomorrow and drink my lemon
You're
water
a very good advertisement for Ayurveda.
But you have
kind, but no, and I don't. And in part, I did buy literally downstairs a mascara and a lipstick because I felt so washed out.
Stop. Oh, at the beauty supply store downstairs?
I was like, Belinda, look, there's a beauty
I store. I can't believe you put on makeup just for us.
I had to. No. And I kept saying, I have to go back to the hotel to... you know, over drink someday, I'll tell you my today story. But I was like, I
wait,
was
you need a drink?
Up.
Is that what you just said? We should have had some wine.
We used to do wine. We don't because we don't. I don't know how we got so serious.
But tell us your favorite mascara then before we let you go.
Oh, I actually like Dior Show.
Oh, Dior Show.
And it's
a
I know
true
people
fat mascara.
People go, oh my God, you know, it's not a clean brand. I realize that, but you know, I absolutely love it.
It's all about balance.
Yes,
right.
That's what I say. You know, have I been known to pop an Advil when I have a really splitting headache? Hell yeah.
She's like, the turmeric's not cutting it this
it's
time.
It's not going to, it's not going to. It's, you know, it's chronic versus acute. When you're feeling something acute, go do what you got to do to get through your day, but then focus on what's chronically causing the problem through your belly oil
advice
and stuff like that.
So many things I want to try now after this interview. What about you, Jess?
I'm definitely, I like this pre-shower ritual that you discussed. You know,
it's very kapha of you, nice and slow. Pre-shower ritual.
Just like, you know, take my time. A little rub on the elbow. I'm gonna try that. And I bet you just probably slide into your bed sheets at night because you're so soft.
That's what I'm going to leave listeners with a vision of
sliding into the bed sheets.
Of me,
because
just
that's
like post shower
startup life.
Oh my God,
this was great.
Thank you
so much for coming
Thank
on the show.
Thank you so much
Thank
for having
you.
Me.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Razor One product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.